Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada, and your moderator for this morning. Today is Friday, August the 23rd, 2024, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're on page 41, the second paragraph. As soon as I regained my ability to think, reading through that one paragraph ending with, it was a crushing blow. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Tenzin P, the 12 traditions, Anita L, and readers of the text, Katie G, Anne Marie M, and Colleen M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, August the 22nd, the 7 a.m. meeting, 21680, and the 10 a.m. meeting, 21681. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Tenzin P. will be reading our 12 steps. Good morning, Tenzin.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory and, when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we charge to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a good day.
Thank you, Tenzin P. And Anita L. will read the 12 traditions. Welcome, Anita.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you. The 12 traditions of the Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service. Have a great day, everybody, and I pass.
Thank you, Anita L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 41, the second paragraph, as soon as I regained my ability to think. Katie G., would you get us started, please?
Good morning, Lynn. I'm taking the meeting. Excuse me. Good morning, everyone. My name is Katie G., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Boston. As soon as I regained my ability to think, I went carefully over that evening in Washington. Not only had I been off guard, I had made no fight whatever against the first drink. This time, I had not thought of the consequences at all. I had commenced to drink as carelessly as though the cocktails were ginger ale. I now remembered what my alcoholic friends had told me, how they prophesied that if I had an alcoholic mind, the time and place would come when I would drink again. They had said that though I did raise a defense, it would one day give way before some trivial reason for having a drink. Well, just that did happen and more, for what I have learned of alcoholism did not occur to me at all. I knew from the moment that I had an alcoholic mind, I saw that willpower and self-knowledge would not help in those strange mental blank spots. I have never been able to understand people who said that a problem had them hopelessly defeated. I knew then it was a crushing blow. So I've been in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous for 20 years, and I really thought that I could fight the food. I thought that I could stay on guard. When I went into relapse the first time, I was going into the grocery store saying, don't eat no matter what, no matter what, don't eat, right? I was doing like the mental training that I thought I could do. And then I would brush my teeth with an electric toothbrush and read, my commitment to abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception, from that pamphlet. And I still, to this day, when I turn on the toothbrush, I can hear that pamphlet in my head. But today, my commitment to God is the most important thing in my life without exception. I can't remember my last binge. I can't think the bite through. What this is telling me over and over and over again is that I have an alcoholic mind. So what does having an alcoholic mind mean? I can't fight the food. I can't not fight the food. I can't have self-knowledge about the food and think that's going to be enough. I can't have no knowledge about the food and think that's going to be enough. And these words are so powerful that these people prophesize, which means especially related to divine threats or promises. So they predicted related to the divine threat and a crushing blow. Think about that. I am destroyed and unpleasant. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I have a big ego. And to have a problem with that is hopelessly defeated, that I have no power, no choice, and no control around. But today, I don't have to fight the food. And I don't have to not fight the food. I have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe, and protected. And I still have to consider my magnifying mind. Ever since I was a little girl, I had a mind that told me I was a piece of poop, and that I was the most unique piece of poop in the whole wide world, right? And then I would get those blank spots, forgetting what starvation did to me each and every time. And I would go back over and over again. And hopelessly defeated, defeated means to win against someone in a fight, right? I am fighting for my life today, but I don't have to. The 10-step promises tell me I have ceased fighting anything or anyone. I am placed in a position of neutrality. My commitment to God is the most important thing in my life without exception, which means that I am committed to myself, to God, and to all of you, and to being the best woman I can be as an agent for God. I get to be an agent to God to help all of you, I'll wrap with this, to help all of you who are still suffering from that crushing blow. Just know that God has a plan for you that's beyond your wildest dreams and it has nothing to do with the food.
My father passed. Thanks for getting us started, Katie G. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. Please say your name just once, as it does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Lisa D. in South Carolina.
Rebecca D.
Oh. Nicole S.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard. I heard Lisa B., Rebecca C., and Nicole S., and I know I missed a voice. Who was that, please?
Lisa N.
Lisa N., okay. Anybody else?
Roy C.
Now, was that... Okay. Was that Roy C. or Troy C.?
Roy C.
Perfect. Okay. Here's our lineup. Lisa B., Rebecca C., Nicole S., Lisa N., Roy C., and Anne Marie M. And when you come on the line, please tell us where you're calling from so we can find you on the meeting list. So Lisa B., good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, Lynn S. Thank you for your service. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina, and I spell my name L-E-S-A. Thank you, Katie, for reading and your share. You know, I wanted to share my experience when I was reading this chapter with my sponsor, being new to Vision for You. I had no idea this was going on in my mind, but I was thinking on some deep level that she, that you guys, that this book was going to teach me how to eat like a normal eater. And it didn't occur to me until we were well into this chapter. It's all of a sudden it dawned on me that I'm not going to be able to eat the chocolate chip cookies at all. I can't have them at all. And I didn't know that I was thinking that, but that's what I thought. And I'm grateful I shared it with her. And she encouraged me to share it with other recovered fellows and that I may have to go through a grieving process. But it's good that this discussion came up and that I got it out. And I began to really start to understand it. It's not about willpower and self-knowledge. You know, I'm not a stupid person, but it's like there's a density there with me as a compulsive overeater. And on some level, I really was thinking it is about willpower and it is about self-knowledge, and that that one day I will understand all of this and that therefore I'll be able to eat the chocolate chip cookies and the things and that I want to be able to eat. But you know what? The grieving process didn't last a long time because I kept hearing in you and in your voices the freedom. It's not that everything goes great and puppies and rainbow. Life is still really hard. But yet I was hearing that you were doing it, and you were doing it with some sanity and some sobriety in your emotions. And, you know, it makes me think of step one in the AA 12 and 12, the very last paragraph that says that then and only then do we become as open-minded to conviction and as willing to listen as a dying can be. We stand ready to do anything which will lift the merciless obsession from us. So at that point, I let go of the life as I had known it, which was very scary, and I began to take hold of a life that I have no idea what it's going to look like. And now for almost 9 years, I have been doing this happily with emotional sobriety and peace. I mean, some days I still lose it, but I don't run to the food, and I don't want to run to the food. And I love this way of life, and I'm grateful, so grateful for all of you and for Vision for You and for the relationship I have with God. So thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. from South Carolina. Next up, we have Rebecca C., followed by Nicole S. Welcome, Rebecca.
Good morning, Lynn. This is Rebecca T. as in Tom. I'm in North Carolina, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, everybody on the line, and for the share so far. Like, I didn't know when I came in the room that I had any kind of an illness or a disease, and I certainly didn't know that it had multiple parts to it, that, you know, in the first 23 pages, my body reacts to food that I put into it a certain way, and it makes me kind of crazy. And then, you know, if I put that food down, then my mind tells me the food is the only thing that's going to fix it. And this is kind of what we're in, is these stories right here telling us that, you know, no matter what, whether there's a cloud on the horizon or, you know, that there's nothing wrong at all, you know, my mind is still going to tell me that, you know, I'm uncomfortable with life and that I need to do something about it. And for me, it would be, you know, eating food that wasn't nourishing my body. And I love the part of the smashing, you know, the crushing of the ego or the blow to the ego that was mentioned. Like, you know, I'm an egocentric person. I'm human. I think things should run the way that I want them to run. And when they don't, it really makes me uncomfortable. And so getting into that space where I'm learning what it looks like to trust and rely on something that isn't me, that's going to help me to overcome and not even have a thought about old patterns and beliefs. They just kind of dissipate and disappear so that I might be able to be of use and of service to others. But I don't know that in this space. And I'm just so grateful to have fellows on the line who've been here before me and get to teach me what it looks like to have an obsession, an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Rebecca T. from North Carolina. Now we've got Nicole S., followed by Lisa N. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Nicole S. from Colorado. And
where it says this time I had thought I had not thought of the consequences at all. And then his friends told him that if he had an alcoholic mind, the time would come that he would drink again. And I could never, as painful as my binges and purging was, physically, emotionally, mentally, everything, I could not remember that from the last time, and I would go back and do it again. So the problem is in my mind. I have that alcoholic mind. And then that last part, where he says, I knew then it was a crushing blow. And I know that I had to, I really had to accept that I am not a normal eater, and I'm never going to be a normal eater. And that was a crushing blow to me. And it was kind of a process that I had to go through of just mourning that I'm not going to be able to eat normal again. And with a long process, though, when I really started accepting step one and going through that, it brought, acceptance, and it brought such hope, because I wasn't just being told, you have this permanent thing and you're never going to be able to eat normally again. But I there was a solution. And so I'm so grateful that, after that crushing blow, I was I had a solution. And it's through, having a relationship with God and working these steps. And so I wasn't just thrown out there with nothing to help. And I'm so grateful for this program, that it's a way of life, and I have to work it every day, but it's so much better than what it was before. And I just thank God every day for this fellowship. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nicole S. from Colorado. Next up is Lisa N., followed by Roy C. Good morning, Lisa.
Well, good morning, and thank you, moderator, for taking the meeting today. It's been terrific so far. And it's a little funny because I'm going to Washington, D.C. on next Friday, a week from today. And so the last today and the other day when the word Washington was in print, I was like, whoa, it kind of opened my eyes. And I realize there's two different states there that have that word in it, but it just kind of reminded me, yeah, you're going someplace and you're going to have fun, but remember to take your program. And I hear so many people say, keep it green and take your program on vacation. And it's really true. We have to do that. I'm not like other people. I have to do this. And I will be with people who are not in program. And you know what? I might be able to help them. I know they both have their struggles. And just by doing my program, I might be able to help them. So we never know who's watching us, right? And it's so funny because yesterday I had this, it was a kind of a weird day, I must say. There was a family issue out of state. And I found myself trusting on my finite self instead of my infinite higher power. And I was told by a sponsor to really think about who my higher power is and what they are capable of versus what I am capable of, which is nothing much. And I know that I have to trust in that infinite good power that has my back today and every day. And so before I go into a restaurant, say that prayer, make that call, do what you have to connect to that higher power that loves you and really cares. So thank you. That's all I've got today. Have a great day, everybody.
And where are you calling from, Lisa?
Oh,
please?
Sure. Sorry about that. I'm calling from Wisconsin. Grateful compulsive overeater today.
Okay, that was Lisa N. from Wisconsin. Thank you. Roy C., it's your turn, followed by Anne Marie M. Good morning, Roy.
Good morning. This is Roy C. from Southern New Jersey. And thank everybody for sharing this morning and you for moderating today. This is a good morning. And as we're going through the reading, I looked at my book and saw an underlying part from a previous reading. Not only had I been off guard, I had made no fight whatever against the first drink. And that reminds me how important it is to not have that first alcoholic food. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I have to be mindful of what I do and what goes on in my life. Last night I found myself in a place where I was looking over what I was going to have as far as a food choice. And it took three or four tries to come up with the right thing, to have something that was on my green light list. And when I was able to make that decision, how much better I felt about it. And it reminds me that regardless of what I do, I have to be mindful of my compulsive overeater practices, because it's that first alcoholic food that puts you on the bend, where you take that wrong fork in the road. And it's so good when you take the right fork and you have one more day under your feet. I was piggyback on the last caller about restaurant and going out to places. My sponsor told me, you're going out to a restaurant, have a plan. Look at the menu ahead of time if you can, to see if what's on your green light list is there, and head towards that. It's all a part of that. I've been part of the program for a few years and had some successes, not all of them successes, but have been a compulsive overeater all of my life. And I have to deal with that every day and will continue to do that. And when I do deal with it, I know that I feel much better about it. So I'm going to keep coming back here, and I thank everybody for being here this morning. Have a good day.
Thank you, Roy C. from Southern New Jersey. Anne Marie M., welcome. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Lynn. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina. Gratefully recovered through God's grace, and I'm recovered through God's grace and by working the steps in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm so grateful for that. You know what stood out to me was the last part of the paragraph where he recognized and he accepted the fact that he is an alcoholic. And he saw that willpower and self-knowledge would not help in strange mental blank spots. So over the weekend, I was in Rhode Island. I'm back in South Carolina now, but I took a sip of my brother's coffee. I mean, he drinks black caffeinated coffee. I drink black decaf. It looked the same to me. And oh my gosh, it was. Taste in it was overwhelming, and it was so sweet. And he said he hadn't put any sugar in it, but he had the the hazelnut flavored coffee. And I remember when I was drinking French vanilla flavored coffee, it had no sugar in it. And you know, my sponsor would say, you know, that might be a problem for you. And I was like, nope. No, I don't think it is. I didn't want to give it up, number one, because I liked it so much. So, bing, you know, there's a problem, but I don't want to give something up. And I didn't want to accept that there was something that I couldn't eat for the longest time. And I fought a lot of things. That was just one thing. I had given that up, quite a while ago. But then there was other things, and I was stubborn and... he accepted that he could not drink, and it took me a little while to accept that I couldn't eat certain foods, that certain foods or drinks, and for me, actions, and just the compulsion to eat. And no matter what it, no matter what it is, even though it's not, you know, a binge food or an allergic, not going to affect me physically. The action of picking up food gives me an adrenaline rush, and I was talking to somebody about that the other day about how what am I getting out of it? I'm getting some kind of an adrenaline rush when I compulsively overeat. It's like, or when I used to, I should really say when I used to, you know, as of today, you know, as of this moment, I am not compulsively eating, and I'm so grateful for that. But when I used to compulsively overeat.
Time, please.
Oh, my goodness. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. from South Carolina. For those of us who may have come on the line a little bit later, we are on page 41, the second paragraph, as soon as I regained my ability to think, and we're reading through that whole paragraph. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Robin.
Laura.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't get anybody. Can we try again?
Robin
Laura
L.
in Costa Rica.
New Jersey.
Okay, I heard Robin P. from Costa Rica. Who else, please?
Christia.
Laura
L. New Jersey.
Somebody from New Jersey?
Amy S.
Okay, and who else, please?
Laura L.
Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry, everybody. I'm really having a tough time. Let me tell you who I think I heard. Robin P. from Costa Rica, Christina somebody, Anne or Amy S. from New Jersey, and a Laura. That's who I got. Who did I miss? Goodness. All right. Let's go with this list, and please, you can fill me in with your name and where you're calling from if I didn't get it right. Robin P., Costa Rica, can you start us off, please, followed by Christina. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica, and I am so grateful to be on the meeting today and so grateful for my recovery. You know, I just think it's all about hitting bottom, and I'm so grateful for the shares today. And, you know, I've been abstinent over 8 years by God's grace and mercy one day at a time, and I just had to hit bottom. And when I work with people, I just say, are you willing to go to any lengths? Do you feel like you're done? And that's what my sponsor asked me. And, you know, I just think that, you know, and then all we can do is just pray for people to hit bottom, because it just takes what it takes for people to realize that they can't control this thing. It's just this illusion of control. And I always thought, this time will be different. This time I can do it. And these strange mental blank spots that talks about in the big book, and this, you know, illusion that I can somehow master this. And it took what it took. It took a really long time. I was a low bottom bulimic. It just took what it took for me to surrender and to ask for help. You know, I grew up in so much shame, a lot of child abuse, and so it was really hard for me to ask for help. And it's such a blessing to be positively vulnerable, and it really is that antidote to shame. And to just say, can you help me? I still get to practice that and with my God squad, and you know, just keep reaching up, reaching out, asking for help, and being of service to God and my fellows. And it works. You know, it works through everything. You know, those steps are my such a blessing. No matter what I'm going through, I get to just stay on that even track with God by working 10, 11, and 12 and being of service. And I'm just so grateful for these meetings. Vision has literally saved my life. I was in
the pit of hell, and I live a very lovely life, and it's all because of Vision and all of you guys. So grateful for you all. Have a really blessed abstinence day. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Now, the next name I wrote down was Christina. So, Christina, if you're out there, please, it's your turn to share.
Hi, this is Christy S. in Massachusetts. If there is a Christina, I'll pass.
No, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Grateful to be in program. This paragraph reminds me that I'm doomed unless I have a psychic change, spiritual experience. And, you know, in my early years in program, I too was taught that chant when I was walking through the grocery store that a previous speaker spoke about, as well as, you know, think it through before you take that bite. You know, and that worked until it didn't, because I was relying on self and not on a higher power. And in my early years in program, I don't know if this is the message that was being delivered, but what my ears heard was really that abstinence was the most important thing. And it was a relief when I started to work the steps and learn that I ate because I had an alcoholic mind with food, and that I didn't have mental defense, and that I needed a power greater than myself. Because there was so much shame in the past when I picked up and I thought I was the one who was in control and I was the one who was doing this. But now, you know, with the help of a great sponsor, in working the steps, I don't have to hurt myself with food. Building a fellowship will help me in terms of those mental blank spots. And, you know, just knowing that I am doomed and defeated unless I work the steps, have a spiritual experience. I'll pass with that. Thanks to all of you, and thank you for leading the meeting today.
Thank you, Christine S. from Massachusetts. Now, I think we've got an Ann S. from New Jersey.
Yeah, Amy S.
Amy. Hi, Amy. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Amy S. from New Jersey. I'm so grateful to be here. Recovered just for today. This is my first time sharing, so a little nervous, but trying to step outside of my comfort zone. And so, yeah, this paragraph definitely smacks me in the face and reminds me of the fact of the times when I too would relapse and think that I could somehow just have that one whatever and be okay, and again relying on my finite self, not realizing, you know, as if someone who has a lot of education behind them, that I just tried to intellectualize everything, and I did the same thing with my recovery, and it wasn't until I realized I can't intellectualize this thing. This disease I have is not about intellect or willpower. It's about my higher power and surrender, and I'm so grateful that I came to that conclusion, you know, through my sponsor, through my higher power, that I realized I'm going to continue to pick up, you know, when it says I knew, it was a crushing blow. I have a note here that, you know, we're conceding that this thing, this disease, is beyond human aid. So just wanted to share that, and so grateful for the fellowship, so grateful for the program and all the servers. Thank you, everyone, and I'll pass for that.
Thank you, Amy S. from New Jersey. And now, Laura, if you're out there, Laura, welcome.
Thank you so much. Good morning. Thank you for moderating. I'm Laura L. from Connecticut, and I appreciate the opportunity to share this morning. This paragraph made me think, especially where it said, not only had I been off guard, I had made no fight. I think the last time that I remember overeating or compulsively overeating publicly, oh, by the way, I'm a compulsive eater, food addict, and bulimic, was right before I came into program, which was 23 years ago. And I used to work for a nonprofit, and they had invited me to a sort of a reunion or a celebration I hadn't been there for maybe 10 years or something, and I had gained back all the weight that I had lost, and I felt like they were looking at me and judging me, but I couldn't sit down. I kept lingering by the food. It was sort of a buffet type place, and at that point I had progressed from grazing to vomiting, bulimia, and spitting out. So I would because vomiting had stopped working, essentially, I started spitting out all the food that I would chew before I would swallow it. So a lot of time in the bathrooms of this world. Anyway, I remember just standing by the table, and they were all sitting down, but I couldn't join them. And I knew I couldn't join them because I had to be by the food because I wanted to take as much sort of in a clandestine way and stuff it in my pocket and then go to the bathroom and eat it and spit it out so I could taste it all and all my sort of bad foods. And I knew exactly what I was doing. I made no fight whatsoever, and I was visibly doing this. So I looked back in horror and shame at this episode for so long, and now I look back with love, compassion, and care for that person, that woman, and hated herself so much, but that could not help herself because I had no spiritual foundation. I had nothing, and I felt I was nothing, and I also felt I was the ugliest, fattest person in the world. And thank God every day, thank God it's for finding you all, finding program, being entirely abstinent, and saved and changed my life over and over, and does every single day. So thank you very much for the opportunity to share this morning. Have a blessed Friday.
And thank you, Laura L. from Connecticut. We have time for four more shares. Who would like those spots, please?
Mary A. from Maine. Erin K. from Michigan.
Sandy S. from Asheville, North Carolina.
Okay. Nancy?
Yes.
From?
Michigan.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard. Thank you, everybody. I heard Mary A., Erin K., Sandy S., and Nancy. So, Mary, please go ahead. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your service, and thanks to everybody who has shared. My name is Mary A. I'm calling in from Portland, Maine, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by God's grace and mercy only, and maybe a little willingness to do some work. And this paragraph is really hitting me so squarely today for a couple of reasons. The crushing blow. When I was working with a sponsor from this group, from A Vision for You, when I came back, I was coming out of relapse, could not understand why I was relapsing. And the crushing blow manifested in so many ways, but one was I really wanted my credits from another 12-step program to transfer. And I couldn't understand why the connection with God and the spiritual experience and my intellectual understanding of the steps and all of that could not stop me from binging. And I was pissed. I was really mad. Like, why? Why can't I just, you know, have one equal the other? But the truth is that they don't. And that compulsive overeating for me is cunning, baffling, and powerful in its own way. And on the one hand, in the moment, it was a crushing blow that I had to face my own powerlessness yet again at a new level. Now, that has turned out to be an amazing asset. So later on in our literature, it says that our most dire problems turn out to be our greatest assets. And so that sort of being forced to surrender again at a lower level on the elevator has deepened my connection with a higher power. It has shored up my willingness to do this work, to stay vigilant, to stay connected, to be of service. And so I'm really grateful for that The other thing that occurs to me is when we talk about, you know, if I could stop compulsively eating on my own, I wouldn't need you. I wouldn't need this program. I wouldn't need the big book, right? So I can't just put. And we live in a society where for millennia, food has been used as a show of love, as a show of community, as a show of social lubrication. And here I am, a person who can't stand myself because I'm full of self-loathing and think that I am so incapable and so small, having to face the rest of the world and say no thank you to that thing that is offered to me at the baby shower, to that thing that is offered to me at the work gathering. And I have to love myself enough to say that my recovery is more important than how I show up in these social situations. And boy, that did not come easily for me.
Time, please.
And what I, thank you so much. I'll wrap up with what I learned is I have to love God first, and then I have to see God's love for me. And once I see God's love for me, then I can see love for myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary A. from Maine. Erin K., good morning. And where are you from, Erin?
I'm from Michigan. Lynn, good morning. Set my timer here. Morning, everybody. Erin K., recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. The thing that really strikes me this morning is I was just thinking about my thinking, thinking about what alcoholic thinking means. And, you know, I've come to realize it's a really distorted way of looking at my life. And I remember really distinctly when I was a kid watching this like Dateline style documentary about women who had anorexia. And it showed these women that were skeletal and thought that they were fat. And I was horrified. You know, I couldn't understand how can they look at themselves and see something so different than what the world sees. And, you know, and there's people that are similar about pursuing plastic surgery and their faces become, you know, really distorted to the rest of us. But I, you know, when I came to this program and surrendered and worked the steps, what I came to understand is that, you know, I may not have body dysmorphia like that, but I have life dysmorphia. I have relationship dysmorphia. I read things into situations that aren't there. If I'm sad or depressed or anxious, I think there is this part of me that believes I'm going to feel that way forever. And you know, my husband's point, come in and ask me a very benign question. And I think, you know, oh my God, we're getting divorced. Or, you know, I take what's intended to be a constructive criticism from my boss, or maybe, maybe not even a criticism, just a constructive piece of feedback. And I hear that as criticism. I internalize it. And that type of thinking, you know, it magnifies fears beyond reality. It, you know, it keeps me, most importantly, stuck in myself and paralyzed and not really able to be of maximal usefulness to anybody, even to myself. And so how do we treat this thinking? The steps, you know, the spiritual awakening that people talk about on this line is really the process of waking up to actual reality. And learning to stop magnifying the negative and instead, you know, focus on gratitude for all the amazing things that are there, and learning to question the false assumptions that I base my life and my actions on a lot of the time that don't really work. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Lynn, for leading.
Thank you, Erin K. from Michigan. Sandy S. from Nashville, it's your turn. Welcome.
Thank you. Just really love the last share. It just totally resonated with me. Yeah. I mean, I am powerless over the distortions my mind creates. And my life has always been unmanageable. So with regard to the food, I never really saw it as a problem. For me, eating and throwing up just became so comfortable. And I was totally unaware of how destructive it was, even though when I went to the dentist, I had 52 cavities when I was 22. I mean, way more than teeth. Thank God I didn't blow out my esophagus. That's all I can say. So, you know, I've been abstinent for a long time. I'm one of the few people that can eat anything. You know, I'm allergic to food. It's not any particular food. And abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception, because that is synonymous with God for me. I had one slip the first year I was in OA. It was an apple. And I knew what I was doing. I thought, I just want to take the edge off of this anxiety, and an apple will do it. And then I was worse than ever. But thank God, as a result of that one slip, I am eternally vigilant. I never, ever want to go back to unhealthy, compulsive eating. What I really need from God in every moment, and what I needed almost since I was born, is the healing of the alcoholic mind. I have this gift. I know I'm completely defeated. I cannot heal my mind. I will say this. I have experienced more inner peace than I've ever experienced in my life. And every single day, I just pray, God, please heal my mind so I stop these distortions. I can't stop them on my own. And all I have to do is just be open to that healing, because I am really attached to hating myself, to destructive thinking, and I'm really powerless over that. And what I'm hoping for is a healing of the mind, a healing of the alcoholic mind from my higher power. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sandy S. from Nashville. And Nancy, it's your turn. Please give us the initial and where you're calling from. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Good morning, family. Nancy C., gratefully recovered in Michigan this morning. And, boy, I'm really leaning into Fred today because he is my story. You know, if we go back a couple of paragraphs, he was anxious to talk to people who were recovered. And when I finally got that tap from God, I was anxious to talk to you guys. And I was anxious to find this Vision for You line with so much recovery on it. But my eating was of huge proportion, and there was no thought. Even though I came into OA in 2011 and heard whatever I heard, I heard more dieting with group support, but I still was showing up at meetings, but I was doing this. I had been off guard. There had been no fight, whatever, as I was eating my way back to all the weight I had lost. I had lost a significant amount of weight. And not even thinking, my mind just kept going in the alcoholic fashion that it would, because I thought I was different, because I had the self-knowledge that I would stop eating one day. Till I couldn't stop, right? Just like it says in the book. And then I got anxious to talk to people. I got anxious to find out what the deal was. And somebody took my hand and walked me through this book. And it is important. Abstinence was very important to me in the beginning because I had to get rid of my alcoholic foods. But once those were down, the recovery process, the steps, is what got me to God and got me to recovery. These stories walk us through the book, you know, in the couple of paragraphs that they are, they show us how we need to have surrender. We need to get rid of our foods. We need to get right with ourselves, with God, and with other people, and then give it back just like we do every day on these lines. I am so grateful for this meeting. I'm so grateful for the fellows that I have in this program. I'm so grateful to my God today that I am a recovered compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Nancy C. from Michigan. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Friday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Friday, August the 23rd, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 21683. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Anne Marie M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, good morning. It's Anne Marie M. again. Gratefully covered compulsive overeater. I'm going to turn to page 164. Okay. A book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Come freely of what you find and join us. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and we will surely meet some of you as we trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.